entire time there unless the Lord directs me to another verse. So we won't be flipping around very much this morning. In the 21st chapter, we're not going to read any of that, but in the 21st chapter, we have the account of Isaac being born. And we know that Isaac was a son of promise. The Lord had promised Abraham and Sarah a child, and they were old and hadn't had any children. And in fact, Abraham was 100 years old, somewhere around 100 to maybe 101 when Isaac was born. So the 22nd chapter is immediately following that. It seems to be a chronological thing, not a random time frame. So Isaac was born in the 21st chapter, the account for that, and also Ishmael, the son by the handmaid that was not the son of promise, was sent away. She was the one that Hagar, his mother, was an Egyptian that had been Sarah's handmaid. And anyway, the Lord told Abraham to listen to his wife and to send her away, and that's what he did. So in chapter 22, it starts out, and it came to pass after these things, so this is following that, that God did tempt Abraham. And if you look up in other translations, it says God tested Abraham. So there was a test here. It wasn't that he was necessarily a temptation like you and I would maybe think of the word temptation or tempting was. It was a test. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, this son of promise, the one that you waited 100 years on before he came, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So I would like to pause there just a moment. What is being suggested here is a human sacrifice. And the old law had not been given to Moses. This was prior to Moses and the old law and all of that. And God told Abraham in a personal communication, I want you to take your son, and I want you to take him to this specific spot that I'm going to show you, and I want you to offer him for a burnt offering. Now, because mankind is equipped with the intent to worship, and man in its sinful state has sought to worship many things over the years, and we know that pagan people in ancient times did actually offer human sacrifice. So for Abraham to hear that type of command wasn't completely foreign. It wouldn't be near as foreign to Abraham as it would be for us. Okay? To us in the United States, last week there was a man that was accused of mistreating a small child and physical abuse, and he was convicted in the Jasper County Court. I was called in to be a juror for that particular case, but I was excused, and I did not sit on the jury, but I was just reading over the weekend that he was convicted of that atrocity. And here we, so it's very foreign to us in our society to perform a human sacrifice would be heinous, right? All of us would think that. But in Abraham's time, it was not, okay? It was something that showed complete devotion and worship. So Abraham got the word And Abraham rose up early, this is verse 3, in the morning, and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him, two of his servants or hired hands, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood or split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Now I want you to pause just a minute here and think about how much wood would it take to burn up an offering. This is more than the little bundle sitting outside a Quick Trip, okay, that you can buy for $5 or whatever it is, something to make a little campfire. There was a significant amount of wood. That's one of the reasons that they took the stock, the pack mule to carry the wood. Okay. Then on the third day of traveling, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, "Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So he didn't tell anybody what they were sacrificing. He just got the fire. They didn't have matches. They had probably a kettle or some kind of container with ashes and coals of fire in it. And he had a knife and he had his wood. Okay? So notice here, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Isaac was bigger than Declan. Okay? I think he was a pretty strapping young man to haul enough wood to burn a sacrifice. Okay? So I just want to get that in our mind here. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And as they were walking towards this mountain and maybe climb, I don't know if they went to the top. I don't know how far up they went, but they were going ascending in elevation. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he says, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Dad, are you forgetting something? We need a sacrifice here. Now, can you imagine the weight and the feeling that Abraham, although Abraham lived in a time that human sacrifice was not completely out of the picture, can you imagine the weight that he felt? I cannot imagine, hardly. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around how would this father that waited 100 years, and now you're seeing this son of promise growing up, maybe he was 15, maybe he was 20, I don't know, but a nice, strong young man that can carry quite a load of wood. And the Lord told me that I was supposed to burn him up, kill him and burn him up, if I really loved the Lord, if I really worshiped him. So I know that Abraham's mind was preoccupied with all of these emotions when Isaac asked him this question. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? God's going to provide. He didn't say, "Son, you're supposed to be it." He didn't ask Isaac to enter into the level of commitment that he had to God. This was personal between him and the Lord. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, got to believe it was some stones he stacked up, and he laid the wood in order, and it came time, somehow, I don't know how this happened, but he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And right at that moment, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Don't do that. Abraham said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. That is taking it down to the wire. Right down to the wire. We could spend a lot of time hypothesizing and theorizing and all those other isms about exactly how close he got to taking Isaac's life and whether the Lord healed him and restored him and all. I've heard lots of discussions over the years about this. But we know that he didn't take Isaac's life. Isaac was restored unto him. We know that Abraham's commitment to follow through and his commitment to God was at an extremely high level at this point. Everything around him was oblivious to him. Would you believe that? It wouldn't have mattered if Abraham was standing on a sharp rock or not. Abraham was oblivious to it. He was determined to follow through, although it hurt him incredibly to think about following through with this. But when the angel called him, notice that they said his name two times. They had to break through his focus, get his attention, and get him to start to communicate. And Abraham said, Here am I. And he's able to halt the process. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 13, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So I would like to talk to us today about the ram that was caught in the thicket, in the bushes, in the thorns. Yesterday, as is my custom or typical for me, I try to get up before my wife, try to spend some time to consolidate my thoughts for the week into what the Lord would have for us to share on this morning. And I'm being very open and honest here today as I was studying and trying to apply myself to some things that had come my way in the not so distant past and some thoughts I'd had and the inspiration I'd had, and I'd tried to meditate on those and try to assimilate them in a fashion that could be used in a service like this, and I was struggling to make it all come together. So eventually she got up and I went about my day. I had a lot of things to try to address during the day, and so I went out and got busy. I don't know, it was 9 o'clock or so when I went out of the house. And as I was, one of my projects yesterday, it was to try to get the heating system to work on my late father-in-law's motorhome. And it's something that burns diesel fuel, and it needs a little photocell to see the flame and a circuit board that manages all of that. And I'd spent, I don't know, a couple hours trying to sort this out, the system I don't know anything about. And I'd come down to the point, I told her, I said, I feel like the photocell is bad. We're going to have that. But I said, if it's not bad, it's going to have a circuit board. And it looked expensive. I mean, circuit boards, they got to start somewhere around $100 and go up from there. maybe 500 and go up, because it's like nobody else makes one of these. It's not like going to O'Reilly's and getting a water pump. So we got the part, little thing that you could stick in your pocket and take up no space, paid $90 for it. I went out there and put it in, and it didn't work. I done a little more check. It's got to be in that circuit board. And I thought, maybe I can take it apart, take this circuit board out, and get my good light and then maybe two pairs of glasses on, and or three or whatever it takes. And maybe I can see a bad solder joint somewhere and I can resolder it. So I take the circuit board out and I'm looking it over, and it's like, there's only one place to get parts from. And I mean, they're the people that made it, no aftermarket parts for it at all. And we're going to have to call these people again. They're in Washington or Oregon. And I was getting my day off to a bad start. I didn't feel very inspired for the message this morning. And I was struggling with my heater. It didn't work. And about that time, I looked kind of over behind me. You notice this, the similarities here. Abraham looked behind him, didn't he? Because I was focused on trying to fix this. I'm just going to make it real simple. I don't like working on motorhomes. I don't like nothing about it. But I was doing it because it needed to be done, and I'd made a commitment to get some things fixed on it. And so I kind of looked over behind me, and there's this clear plastic tote sitting in the compartment that I had open right beside it, and I thought, I wonder what that is. Some stuff probably ought to be thrown away. So I reached over, and I grabbed that and pulled it out, and the first thing I reached in and pulled out was a fuel pump, electric fuel pump. That looks like something that belongs on this heater. It's got a water pump in it. Well, that looks like something belongs to this heater. I pulled out another little bag, and there's a circuit board in there. Boy, I'm thinking somebody's been working on this and saving all their old parts. Boy, I'm really in for trouble. Something is burning out circuit boards. That's what I was thinking. No, it's different. These are new parts that my father-in-law had bought. I don't know when. He didn't know it. He forgot he had them because he never told us about it. And the heater didn't work for a long time. So I pulled the circuit board out and looked at it. And I thought, well, I don't know if it's been installed and it's flamed out or not. What have I got to lose? So I put it in there, fastened it up, secured it all, plugged it in, turned it on, and it worked. That was a relief, I'm going to tell you. So immediately, the Lord brought this verse to my mind. A ram caught in the bushes. And I was thinking about the ram. You know, a ram, it wasn't one of Abraham's lambs that had followed him from a distance. It wasn't his pet. There was more chances that this was either a wild animal or something that had escaped from someone else's flock and was completely lost. Would you agree with that? So I'm thinking about a ram and it being hung in the bushes. Abraham being so weighted down with his troubles and the things, it would be very troubling to be in Abraham's position. He's made this commitment. He's determined to follow through. And he's probably not being really cognizant of everywhere he's putting his foot going up this mountainside. And I can imagine these two fellows were making their fair share of noise coming up there. And this ram caught in the bushes knows he's in trouble, Because if a predator comes along, he's somebody's lunch. Right? So, what do you think the ram was doing? He was being really, really quiet and still. That's what I think. Some people believe that he was maybe created by God instantaneously there. I don't know. Maybe God did just create that ram and stick his head in the bushes for Abraham. Maybe that's what he did. And maybe he caused the ram to get caught and just be waiting there for him. I don't know. I believe it was God's providence that had the ram in the bushes. I don't disagree with it. How it got there, I don't know. But I got to believe, somehow I got to believe, this ram was there and saw the whole ordeal. But he was afraid to make a move. You know, until maybe Abraham looked around and maybe he kind of realized it was a man and not some other kind of predator, and he made a little noise. That little circuit board was in there 2 weeks ago when I was trying to figure out what was wrong with it. It ain't make no noise. I wished it would have said, "Hello, I got spare parts over here," but it didn't. You know, there's times that we're going through life and we need some help, and we don't know what to do, and we're really not sure how to go about what we're doing. And it'd be nice if something would say, "I'm your answer. It's right over here," and we don't get it. Because our head is so far down underwater, we're dealing with the problem. We're dealing with our troubles. We're trying to sort out what I'm up against. And we're trying to deal with, maybe it's emotions. Maybe it's some impossible things. I've dealt with a lot of things that seem to be impossible to me in life. I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what the right answer is. And I don't understand this system, or I don't understand this situation, because of all of the context of people that's involved, or how these two parts work together. And I could go off on a lot of tangents here this morning explaining things I've discovered, and I really don't have an answer of why. Technical things. And I don't understand how people work either very good. I know the Lord does. And there's many times that I have to ask the Lord to help me with my job. And many times I have to ask the Lord to help me when I interact with other people. What's the right words? What's the right thing to do? How to approach this situation? And I don't always do it right. Abraham here felt like his back was up against the wall. Maybe you feel like your back's against the wall this morning. Maybe you feel that you don't know what to do. Or maybe you feel that you're called to make a consecration and a commitment that you don't know how you can follow through with. If I'd have ever felt like God had asked me to sacrifice my child, I'm going to tell you, Abraham, it says he got up the next morning, rose up early the next morning. I'd have been a dragon. I'd been looking for excuses and not to do this. I'd been wanting to put a fleece out and saying, "Lord, I need something a lot more definite than just an inspiration." And I think you would too. I think we've all had those places that we would have major reservations about following through with what we feel like God wants us to do. Maybe it's a consecration. Maybe it's laying something aside that you feel like God has kind of put his finger on and he says, this is something you need to sacrifice to me. This is something you need to lay aside. This is something you need to do for me or the cause. And it's like, Lord, are you sure? Many times we don't respond like Abraham did. And many times we think, Lord, this is unreasonable. Why would you wait until I was 100 to give me the son of promise and then turn around and tell me to sacrifice it? The very very potential of me having descendants, and he promised Abraham that he would have descendants like the sand of the sea. How's this going to happen, Lord? We'd all be tempted to argue with God. That's the point I want us to get out of that. But many times, the Lord has got it all planned out, and he's got a ram in the bushes for us. And I want us to think about the possibility of the ram being in the bushes for us. And if we can only get our eyes above what we feel like is being required out of us and see the ram in the bushes. The ram, my circuit board that was hiding in this little kind of, you know how they used to, well, they still do that, send a circuit board in a non-conductive little plastic bag with this little kind of film on the inside. Computer boards will come that way sometimes, and maybe other things, electronics will come in this little thing that looks like it's got, I don't know, window tint on it or something, for the lack of better explanation. But it was hiding in there, and I never even thought about, look, I'd seen the plastic tub before, but I'd never even thought what it was. And then when I did see it, I thought, well, that's probably rubbish. It needs to be thrown away. I don't know what it is, but I drug it out, and it even had a new photo cell that I spent $90 for getting another one for it. It had all these spare parts in there, and if I'd have just looked, you know, if Abraham would have looked around as he was coming up the mountain, I'm wondering if the ram would have been there. If he'd have looked real close, thinking, you know, Lord, there's got to be a ram around here somewhere, but he didn't see it. He didn't see it. And many times we don't see it. We feel like there's this requirement out of us. It's an impossibility. It's unreasonable. Many, many, many people say, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to make that level of consecration. I'm not going to make that level of commitment to God. I'm not going to go that far. I heard it said of a man one time that felt like the Lord had called him to the ministry, and his father was a minister, and he told his mother, I'm willing to preach, but I'm not going to go to the level or make the level of commitment that my father has done. You know where he's at today? He's lost. He's backslid. He's out there a long ways from God, doing things that he knows better. You know, we can come to that same kind of place. The Lord may be calling something for something, for calling for something from us. We say it's totally unreasonable. I can't do that. I won't do that. And back up. And if we back up, we miss the opportunity for us to find the ram caught in the bushes. I don't know what the ram is for you. I know what the ram was for me yesterday. The ram for me yesterday was that circuit board, a new one hiding in a plastic tote. I don't know what it is for you on your individual. It may be an answer to your dilemma. You may have come this morning with a dilemma. I don't know what's on your mind and what's on your heart, but please make the commitment to be true to the Lord. You make the commitment Abraham made that commitment. He got all the way back to the point of drawing back with the knife, fixing to slay his son. He got all the way to that point. And within that last fraction of a second, the angel said, "Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. There's something else here. I see that you're not willing to withhold anything from the Lord. Your commitment to God is wholehearted. It's complete. Don't do this, Abraham." You know, what's the old saying about intention is 9/10 of what? Somebody help me with that one. I usually have a lot of old sayings, but I can't remember. You know, Abraham's intent was to follow all the way through. But God had a way of interrupting that. And when he interrupted that, he said he began to look, "Lord, if I'm not to do this, what am I going to do?" And he looked around, and there was the ram caught in the bushes. There was a solution. He didn't ask, "I wonder whose ram that is." He could tell this. I think it was a wild animal. I don't think it was from somebody else's flock. I think it was a native of the hillside, and all the more reason for it to sit there and be quiet until he was discovered. But Abraham was able to sacrifice that lamb. And don't you know that he and Isaac went down that mountain with rejoicing in their hearts? I was happy yesterday when my heater worked. I'd called somebody and left a message to help me out. And they returned my call about the time the thing, before it would light and go out. Light the second time and go out. And then a little light would come on and blink at me and say, "I got a problem." And this time it lit and it went out. And it lit again and it stayed lit. And it heated all the way up and shut off like it was supposed to. And it just about the time it had run about a minute, and I knew it was going to keep running, this fella called me back. And I was able to talk to him about it a little bit. But you know, I was rejoicing over that. And we will never find that place of that level of rejoicing if we're unwilling to make the level of commitment for us to look for the ram in the bushes. You understand what I'm saying? Not every solution is a straightforward, consecutive, this one thing just follows into the order of something else. It's many times we approach things in life and we simply don't know what to do. We don't know what the answer is. And we're seeking the Lord. "Lord, I want to be committed to you, and I don't know what the answer is." It seems like an open-ended thing. Like, it doesn't happen very often, but once in a while, somebody will bring you something to do. And those of us that's done work for customers on a more personal level, there may be somebody that says, "Here, I'm just going to sign this check. And when you're done, you just fill it in." Mark, you ever had that happen to you? It's a pretty good feeling, and I've had it happen a few times, but most of the time, it don't. Most of the time, it don't happen that way. And, you know, the Lord has an answer for whatever you're up against today. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're up against, and I don't know what the answer is. So don't come and ask me where the circuit board is. Or the ram is. I can pray with you. I can give you my thoughts, but don't expect me to be able to say, "Well, okay, right, right there. That's the answers. There you go. There may be some simple answers, but when it the tough ones, nobody's going to know the answer for. It's going to be in your level of commitment to the Lord and being willing to follow Him. And as you do that, and time unfolds, there's going to be a time when the Lord says, I know you're serious about pleasing me. Look around, and there's going to be a ram caught in the bushes. But when we back up and say, too tough, I can't do that, we'll end up losing a lot of stuff. You know what Abraham faced after this happened? He got word of a brother of his, Nahor. You remember that? Remember that name? And how many children he had. It just keeps on naming them off and the descendants of that. And there was one name that stands out in that list. If you read the rest of the chapter, there was a daughter born that would have been a granddaughter, I think, or a great-granddaughter of Nahor, his brother, whose name was Rebekah. Does that ring a bell with you? You know, I won't go all into that story, but that could have been discouraging to him. I got one son, I almost killed him. And my brother's got 8 children, or whatever it was. There can be a lot of things that looks like it's passing you by. But what is in the lineage? What was in one of the descendants of Abraham that's so important for us today? Jesus Christ. Abraham was his ancestor in the flesh. Lord, help me today to make the commitment and not back up. I know a little bit about commitments. I know how challenging it can be. Those of us that's been married a while, we made some commitments. It's going to be 40 years, not very long for Anita and I. We celebrated 38 this year. And there's been some times that our commitment has been challenged. But I'm going to tell you, the alternative to that is not good. The alternative to that. The alternative to not making the commitment to follow through with whatever the Lord has for us is not good. So I want to challenge you today with whatever you are up against and you don't see a solution. It looks like it's going to be more than you ought to have to pay. I want you to be willing to make that commitment and ask God to help you see it through. And when it comes down, there's going to be a ram caught in the bushes. I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but there's going to be a ram caught in the bushes. And you're going to be so happy that you made that level of commitment and stayed true to the Lord. You pray for me.